Good morning and welcome to worship with the people of Holly Grove Lutheran Church on this, the fourth Sunday in Easter. This is every year Good Shepherd Sunday, where we learn more about who our Good Shepherd is and all of the ways that our Good Shepherd loves us and lays his life down for us. We have several announcements this morning. The first is that this is our last Sunday of not being together in the sanctuary again. Next Sunday, we will regather together in person. It is going to be different than what it was the last time you were here. And as hard and as sad as that feels, it's still really important and significant and exciting and happy that we can be together. But when you do come into the sanctuary, you're going to need to wear a mask and stay masked throughout the entire service. You are going to need to social distance from one another. And not only does that mean that the pews, some of them will be marked off so that we can allow for that in seating, but we're asking that you wave at folks from 6 feet apart instead of hugging them quite yet, even though I know we really want to do that. At the heart of why we are taking these measures is because we want to take into account everyone's health and well-being. Just like our Good Shepherd would go after one lost sheep, every single person's health and well-being is important to us. And even if we only had to all mask for one person, that one person is important enough in our community for us to mask for. So we are excited to welcome you back into the sanctuary next Sunday. We will, however, still continue to live stream our services for those of you that aren't quite comfortable yet attending in person or are not able to. All of that being said, that means that this will be the last Sunday that we have drive-through communion. Since we will be having it in the service, we were going to go ahead and do that starting next Sunday, but today still feel free to come through for drive-through communion. Bring your tithes and offerings. We would love to see you. On Wednesdays, we are doing our Bible study. It's from 7 to 8 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. If you'd like to join via Zoom, the email link will go out on Wednesday mornings. We've got some committee meetings coming up and council. On May 23rd, Pentecost Sunday, we are going to have Confirmation Sunday. We have one confirmand, Madeline Blower, who we will confirm that day. On June 20th, we are going to recognize two graduates and put on your calendars Sunday, June 6th at 3 o'clock. I will officially be installed as your pastor that day. Okay, we've got several cards this morning to read aloud. A couple of weeks ago, the Agape group hosted a baby shower for some teen mothers, and they sent these cards. I really appreciate all the nice things that you gave me for my baby. Thank you. I want to say thank you for the baby shower. It was such an amazing act of kindness, and it meant a lot to me. And then this is from a mother who, when we had a time of prayer, she shared that her baby might be born with a birth defect. And so she writes to tell us, saying, "Thank you for your gifts and prayers. I found out that my baby was clear for birth defects. His name will be Mosiah Judah. Thank you for your prayers. With my love, Ruby." It was a great gift to be a part of that day and celebrate these young women and their children. Have a card from Myra and Harold Beck. "Dear church friends, Harold and I thank you for your prayers, caring thoughts, phone calls, and the many cards that you have sent during the pandemic and Harold's sickness. We love you all and are very thankful to be a part of the church. Love, Myra and Harold." And then a card from Gary and Judy McLean. "Thank you. It's the thoughtful things people do for us that make all the difference. Your thoughtfulness means so much to us, and we want you to know that we truly appreciate it." Gary and I would like to thank you for your prayers, phone calls, and the beautiful prayer shawls. We appreciate all you have done for us. Please continue to keep us in your prayers, Gary and Judy. Finally, if I haven't forgotten anything, we have a couple of birthdays and an anniversary. Todd and Lori Conrad are celebrating their anniversary, and Debbie Parsons and Robbie Heilman have a birthday. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin together in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us, and we shall be satisfied. Heal us, and we shall be whole. Make us one with you, for you. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, it is time for the children's chat. And if you were seated here, I would show you this picture, which I'm not sure you can see that clearly, so I'll describe it. There are two pictures on this page. One is of a little black sheep, and one is of a little black sheep with a white face and some black spots on his face. And this is a little story that I want to tell you about these two little sheep. So they were born to their mom named Dottie. And the farmer, whose farm they lived on, noticed that as soon as these two little sheep, these little lambs were born, their mom, who had not really been all that vocal before, suddenly started bleating all the time. B-L-E-A-T, bleating. Which I looked up is the word for what sheep do when they talk. So when we say that a sheep says, bah, that's called bleating. So this mom, Dottie, started bleating all the time. The farmers could hear it at their house. They could hear it at all these different places on their farm. And it really kind of got to be annoying for them. I mean, it was loud and it just wouldn't stop. And so they kind of wondered, maybe something is wrong with her. Maybe something went wrong with the delivery. They didn't know. So they called their veterinarian. And the veterinarian said, no, this is actually quite common for mother sheep. It's common for a ewe that when their children are born for the first couple of weeks, The mother sheep bleats constantly because at some point in the first couple of days, the lambs get strong enough that they start wandering off a little bit from their mom's side and going to different areas of their little field. And you know, there are a lot of sounds on a farm. There's probably ducks quacking and horses neighing and cows mooing and dogs barking. And there are a lot of sounds. And so this mother sheep has to make her voice louder than those so that her lambs can hear her voice. And she bleats all the time those first couple of weeks so that her lambs will learn the sound of her voice. Because after those first couple of weeks, the little sheep are big enough and strong enough that they're introduced into the herd of all of their other sheep friends. And as you can imagine, when they're all together, there's probably other bleating going on and other sounds. And this way, they will have had practice at hearing their mom's voice so that in the big crowd of all the other animals, when all those other sounds are being heard, they can hear their mom's voice. And this reminds me of what we read about today in the 23rd Psalm, where we learn about God being our shepherd, but especially in the gospel passage when Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and my sheep, they know my voice." And I think that that's kind of what this little story about these two little lambs and their mom is about, that in the world there is a lot of noise of other things that are calling out for us and things that want our attention, but we need to hear the voice of Jesus calling to us and calling out for us and calling us to himself so that even in the midst of the sea of all these other noises and voices, that we can hear Jesus' voice when he calls. And there are a couple ways that we really learn to know what Jesus' voice is. One is by spending time in Scripture and learning more and more about who Jesus is and the things that he says. And two is in prayer. You know, we're often taught in prayer that we are the ones who talk to God. But we also need to listen so that we can hear Jesus' voice speaking to us. So we learn that in prayer by listening and in Scripture, so that when the world is pretty noisy around us, we can hear Jesus' voice, just like these little lambs heard their mom's voice. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for our church. Thank you that like a loving mother sheep, you call out for us. Help us to learn the sound of your voice so that we can always recognize it, even in a noisy world. We love you, God. Amen.
The first reading is from Acts. The next day, the rulers and elders and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners Peter and John stand in their midst, they inquired, "But what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, For there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from 1 John. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of times in recent years, I have randomly sought folks out as I've been out and about and have asked them, what is your favorite verse in Scripture? And as you might guess, more than half of those that I've asked have replied that it is the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is their favorite. I kind of suspect this to be true each time I ask folks, and so when they tell me that it's their favorite, I ask them why. Most of the responses are, it's comforting, it's encouraging, it's familiar. I think the familiarity of Psalm 23 makes this beautiful psalm with beautiful language a balm for our souls. And I hope that today, as we think a little bit more about this psalm and ponder it, that it might be a balm for our souls. So often we tend to think of the 23rd Psalm at the time of death, or as someone is dying, or a psalm that we often use at a funeral. And there is good reason for this. These words are incredibly comforting. It's in times of deep pain and grief and sadness. These words about who God is and all that God does for us really reach deep into our souls to bring us solace. But I also think that this psalm is more than just a psalm for times near death and funerals. I think this psalm has a lot to say about life. I think this psalm is also about living. This beautiful poetic confession of faith opens with, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is a very common image for us throughout Scripture. We can think of other verses in the Psalms that say things like, "We are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand." And every year on this fourth Sunday of Easter, we hear Jesus remind us that he is the good shepherd. Someone mentioned to me this week that this psalm took on even more meaning for them when they realized that Jesus would have known this psalm and that he likely prayed this psalm over and over in his own heart and used it to meditate on who God is. And so when he says to his disciples that he is the good shepherd, this psalm is at the forefront of his mind, and he is offering them that he is the good shepherd mentioned in this psalm. Our shepherd leads us and provides for us and cares for us. And this psalm, in such beautifully poetic language, I think helps us understand what that means as the verses go on. Our shepherd provides for us. And truly, we lack nothing. There isn't one object, immaterial or material, that we can think of that we lack in God's presence, because in God's love, everything we need is found. But this requires us to do the work of distinguishing between our wants and our needs. There are a lot of things that we want. Our list of gimmies, as the Berenstain Bears book writes about, our list of gimmies is quite long. But the list of the things that we need are all provided for us by God's hand. In our old friend, the Small Catechism, listen to these words about the first part of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Luther always asks, what does this mean? I believe that God has created me together with all that exists. God has given me and still preserves my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all limbs and senses, reason and all mental faculties. In addition, God daily and abundantly provides shoes and clothing, food and drink, house and farm, spouse and children, fields, livestock, and all property, along with all the necessities and nourishment for this body and life. I think one of the things that the pandemic has done for many of us, I know it's done this for me, that it has helped to pare back my life a little bit and help me understand and refocus that there is much less I need in life than all of the things I want. Really, what I need is shelter and clothing and food and drink and love and companionship. A lot of the extras in our life have been pulled back this year. And as we move into life post-pandemic, there are a lot of things that I don't think I need to add back in because they aren't necessarily things that I need. And so my hope and prayer for all of us is that as we journey from this pandemic stage of life and what it has meant for us, that when we go into this new season of post-pandemic life, that we are really thoughtful about distinguishing between our wants and our needs and what it is that we really need in life and need to grow and thrive in our relationship with God and others, and what are the things that we can leave behind. We have the call to refocus our priorities on loving God and loving our neighbors. And this psalm reminds us that in God, in God's love, we have all that we need. We lack nothing. But that also requires us to trust fully in the Lord and a little bit less in ourselves. We have become so accustomed to providing for ourselves, for all that we want and need. And when we trust more fully in ourselves, it means that we trust less in God. And so this psalm reminds us that we are to trust in God and less in ourselves, because God gives us all that we need. God gives us our very lives, and God gives us God's very self in Christ Jesus and in filling us with the Holy Spirit. We can proclaim with confidence that the Lord is our shepherd and we lack nothing, because God loves us and cares for us. Our shepherd guides us along the terrain and journey of the geography of life. As we all know, the terrain of life can be difficult at times. It is not always smooth sailing. But God guides us along this geography. In the uncertain times when there are challenges that we face, those we love face, or that the world faces, God is there with us, guiding us through it. In the heat of the day, God is with us. When we are hungry and weary and parched as we journey through life, God safely guides us to rest and to nourishment. Just because there is rough terrain, just because we get weary, just because we get hungry, and just because there are enemies in this geography, doesn't mean that God isn't with us, because God is with us in the midst of all of that, guiding us and leading us. In the long and winding narrow roads of life, God is there too, protecting us and leading us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There isn't one single step in this life that we will take when God is not right there beside of us, holding our hand, walking ahead of us, leading the way, and following us right behind us to catch us when we fall. We are never, ever alone. Even when we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, our shepherd is there with us, continuing to care for us and lead us and guide us. In the places of our deepest fears and troubles, God comforts us. I think it's interesting to note that our shepherd doesn't steer us clear of these valleys. No, God instead walks with us through them. We all know all too well that we will walk through valleys of the shadow of death. We all already have, probably more than once, and it's likely that there will be more. But our hope is that we don't journey through them alone. God is with us, and even when enemies persist and threats abound and our hearts are broken and all of the other things that happen in those valleys of the shadow of death, God is with us. And because God is with us, we fear no evil. No evil, because God is with us. And beloved, remember that even the darkness is not dark to God. And so when God is with us in those dark valleys, it's not dark to God. In God's presence, darkness loses all its power. Our shepherd guides us through those dark valleys, and because his presence abides with us, we fear no evil. This past year and a half, have been quite different than I imagined that they would be. I think you would say the same. I was looking through some pictures on my phone the other day, and I came across a picture of myself on New Year's Eve of 2019. I had a little hat on and a fun shirt, and I remember thinking, we are on the eve of not just a new year, but a new decade. There was a lot on the news and in articles about what this new decade might bring. And little did any of us know that 3 short months later, that we would be in the midst of a global pandemic. Even in the midst of all that this past year has held, and it's been different for all of us, but it's been common for all of us in that we've all had to sacrifice and we've all had to endure loss in some shape or form. God has been present with us through all of it, and Jesus has been there right alongside of us, offering comfort and courage. Because in his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus restores our souls. He leads us in paths of righteousness, and he accompanies us through the darkest of valleys. He spreads before us his holy supper in the presence of sin and death, and he pursues us with his gracious love all the days of our lives. This is most certainly true. Of all the things that we know to be true, this is most certainly true. That our good shepherd provides and cares for us, loves us beyond all imagining, and in God's presence, even darkness loses its power. These beautiful words in Psalm 23, these words of truth, this confession of faith, mean so much to us throughout all of our lives, not just at death, because through every season, in every moment, our shepherd is there with us. So don't let these be words that you just read aloud at a time of death or at a funeral. Read them often. Memorize them. Let God write them upon your heart so that when you are lonely or sad or fearful, whatever it is that you're going through, that God can comfort you and guide you with these words. To close, I'm going to read again the 23rd Psalm in the King James Version, because I think no matter which translation of the Bible we have, we all know the 23rd Psalm in the King James Version. And I'm going to read it slowly so that we can think about what each image means as it describes more fully who God is and what God does for us and for the world. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us confess what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Alive in the risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Loving Shepherd, you know your own, and your own know you. Your voice calls us to your loving embrace. Strengthen your church throughout the world, that we bear witness to your expansive love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Shepherd, you are generous with the gifts of goodness and mercy. Restore your creation to wholeness, so that cities and towns, countryside and wilderness, may abound with life. Lord, in your mercy. Hope-giving Shepherd, the nations and peoples are your heritage. Place into the hearts of all leaders and rulers the passion to serve. Crucify any desire to overpower others, and give leaders joy in lifting up the lowly. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Abiding Shepherd, your love flows as we reach out to those around us. Move us with your Spirit so that we lay down our lives for those in need, especially the least and the lost. Help us love one another in truth and action. Lord, in your mercy. Saving Shepherd, you restore us to wholeness. Help our community and our life together, and give us vigor as a people of faith. In the midst of challenges and opportunities, fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Grant to those who are sick and suffering your compassion, and nurse them back to health and wholeness, especially Gary, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Harold, Michael, Steve, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, Gary and Judy, Donnie and Latifah. We also pray for our family and friends listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud in our hearts or on our lips. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal Shepherd, you hold us securely in your loving hands. In the assurance of resurrection hope, we remember our loved ones who have died in you. Bring us with them to dwell in your house forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
In the hope of new life in Christ, we raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. At this time, we bring our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. And in this day, with all of our technology, you can either text your tithe, you can do it online on our website, you can mail it in, or you can bring it to drive-through communion today.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with the earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and with this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.